Hawaii. And for 54 years, she's been my navigator. I learned to listen to her back in 1968. We hadn't been married too long then. We were living in Denver, Colorado. And they were having an area-wide campaign for Christ. Jimmy Allen was the preacher. It was downtown in some sort of big convention center. There was thousands there. I remember we sat way up high in the nosebleed section because I guess the rest of the seats were taken. And they had the two baptistries, you know. We don't get too excited about making sure the baptistry is right nowadays, but they had one, this was in the convention center, a special pool set up on either side, and they used them that night. You know, it was just a really marvelous thing to see that many people there worshiping God. Well, after the convention center, the service was over, we got out and got in the car, and I remember very clearly where we were kind of parked there, and I got ready to head home. And that's the wrong way. We need to go back that way or something like that. No. This is the way home. Well, I was wise enough to finally give in, you know, being humble as I am and all. And we got home by going that way. There is a way that seems right unto man, though. Don't want to follow that sometimes. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Tonight we're going to be talking about the way. The way. Bible talks about God's people in the New Testament in a number of different ways. Romans 16, verse 16, the churches of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, the church of God. The body of Christ. The kingdom of Christ. The temple of God. The bride of Christ. But in Acts chapter 9, we want to read about another term that seems to be talking about the people, or maybe it's the way the people are going. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 beginning. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus. So as he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Any of the way. There is a way that seems right, but here is talking about people of the way. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man's come to the Father but by me. So we need to realize that if we're going to go to heaven, there is a way that leads there, and that is through in Jesus Christ. Paul used this term also in Acts chapter 24 and verse 14. But if I confess to you that according to the way which they called a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets. Notice he worshiped according to the way God's people did, the way that God reveals in the Bible. There is a way that seems right, but God's way is right. Jesus is the way, and we need to be worshiping God according to the way, living according to the way. So this being Memorial Day weekend, it's kind of a day of remembrance. I thought we might just remember some things about Jesus and about he is and this idea of the way. As we mentioned already, Jesus is the way to God. John chapter 14, verse 6, no man comes to the Father except through me. Sher and I, we ate lunch down at Fernando's today. And as we're leaving church, Sher noticed there's a church over there coming soon, it says. The Fearless Church, F-E-A-R-L-E-S-S. The Fearless Church. I never heard of it before, don't know anything about it. But I doubt if it's following the way. Got the wrong name if it is. But think about here, we worship according to the way. Jesus is the way to God, and no one comes to the Father except through him. I dare say that most of us would fall under the Gentile category tonight. You may be Jew, and if you are, fine and dandy, no problem at all. God bless you. But in the Old Testament, the Jews were God's chosen people. And they looked on the Gentiles, well, not too favorably for the most part. But God had a plan that through Jesus, both Jew and Gentile might become part of the way. Ephesians 2 and verse 18, for through him we both have access to one spirit, by one spirit to the Father. By one spirit, through him we both the Jew and the Gentile. And we're familiar how that God is not a respecter of persons, but all who fear him can be acceptable to him. Acts chapter 10, about verse 34. So Jesus is the way. In that same verse in John chapter 14, he says that he is the truth, and he is the way to truth. John chapter 18, verse 17, Jesus said, I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Bear witness. My way have come. I'm going to show and prove all about the truth. And in John 1, verse 17, for the law is given through Moses, but grace and truth came through in Jesus Christ. The truth is able to set us free. John 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth. The truth is something that we can know and we must know. And if we know the truth and following it, then the truth will set us free. I don't know that very many of us, if any of us, have concerns about, you know, being set free from the Old Testament law, realize that Christ died and it was nailed to the cross, but we still have a lot of guilt sometimes, or have had in the past, but we've been able to be set free because of knowing the truth and following what Jesus says. Free from the burden of sin and free from guilt, free from just a lot of things, because we can be and are in Christ. And also John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What a wonderful life it is to be in Christ. He said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief doesn't come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life. Are you living the abundant life? Well, if you're in Christ, it's available to us. We have access to every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. So the abundant life in this life is being free from sin and all of those things. But the ultimate, I guess, an abundant life will be when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Jesus offers this life with some wonderful things. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, teaches us that we can know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of Christ, or of God. That you may know the love of Christ. We think of God so loved the world that he gave Christ. But think about Christ's love. He left heaven where he was there equal with God, but he came to this earth to be a servant. And all the things that he endured, he came to his own and his own received him not. He was mocked and spat upon and all these horrible things, and then died for us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How blessed we are to have this knowledge of the love of Christ. Also, we have peace in Christ. When Sammy led the first song, talked about love and joy and peace, I thought, well, I can just sit down and we sing that song again, you know. But we do have peace in Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 6 beginning. Be anxious for nothing. Now, that's something that's a challenge for most of us. Some people seem to don't have any problem, just go through life. I'm thinking of one of my nieces right now. I've never seen when she wasn't joyful, I don't think. You know, but the joy, the peace we have is also an inner peace. But it says, be anxious. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. Be anxious for nothing, but instead of being anxious and worrying, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry, pray. And if we do that, let our requests be made known to God. Sometimes we may feel, well, you know, some things we'd like to pray about, but really don't want to bother God with that because it's, you know. But he says, tell me what you want. And he says, if we will be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The early Christians had something that many people just didn't understand. They were able even to go to their death and persecution and so forth because of the peace, realizing that all was well. I've told you about my little granddaughter, Ella. She just had all kinds of problems, three surgeries, I guess, before she was about 3 months old, and major, major surgeries. But everybody, especially Grandma and her mom and her other grandmother, was telling her, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. That was kind of the first thing she said, it's going to be okay. She just had some very serious nose surgery this past Monday. We went and saw her, saw her yesterday, I guess, and her nose was bandaged up and had stitches in it and so forth. How you doing? Oh, I'm fine. When she was, she has a lot of ear infections, perhaps because of that. The doctor set her down one time, and after treating her, he says, now, if your ear hurts just a little bit, you tell Mama, because she'd go through so much, and no matter what was going on, are you okay? Does it hurt? It hurts a little bit. She had something special, and we can have this peace that's going to be okay, going to be okay. Also, joy. John chapter 5, verse 11, 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. 1 Peter 1 and verse 8. Now, you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Though we don't see him now, we can still rejoice with joy inexpressible. Jesus says, you know, I have spoken to you that your joy may be full. Jesus also offers life beyond this life. I've noticed lately as we're singing in worship, how many of our songs talks about the next life. You know, talks about maybe Jordan or the Rolling River or something. Just might notice that. How many of our songs, and I think this is good because we realize that this life is not all there is. John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. What a wonderful thing, how blessed we are to have Jesus as the way of life. Also, he's the way of prayer. We mentioned earlier how important prayer is. Don't worry, but pray. Well, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We pray to the Father. Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, by his authority, then we will be blessed. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus taught that we should always pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart. You ought to come and see my garden. It's about that wide and about yay long. And got some cucumbers growing. went out one day and the cucumbers were gone. They just got up and left. Well, I think something helped them. And they got a little old flower bed I got from my son. It's about 4 foot square and about 3 foot off the ground. Well, I thought probably a rabbit got them. So I don't think a rabbit would be smart enough. Hey, there might be something up there. I'm just going to jump up and see. I don't know what happened. But I didn't lose heart. I planted them again. And so far, they're doing okay because I went and put baby powder on them. Evidently, they don't like baby powder or whatever it was that took them away. So we need to not lose heart. You know, here said we should pray. Don't be discouraged. In prayer, we get to go right before God's throne because of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Have you been someplace special lately? Well, we were just a few moments ago. And Brother Jim led a prayer, went right into heaven, right in before God's throne. What a wonderful thing it is. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, speaking of Jesus, he always lives to make intercession for them. He intercedes. And in 1 John 1 and verse 2, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. This morning, you guys are getting a rerun, by the way. I preached this lesson this morning. And I got to thinking on top of my head, you know, hey, who are some old lawyers? Because Jesus is an advocate. And I thought, you remember Ben Casey? I was told later he was a doctor. He wasn't a lawyer. But he probably never lost any cases in court. You know, that was the point I was making. Jesus is our advocate. He is the way of service. Jesus came to serve, and he taught his disciples to do it likewise. Remember John chapter 13, begins verse 12. Jesus speaking, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent them. If Jesus is our Lord and Master, he is a servant, shouldn't we be? And washing feet is a pretty humbling job, you know. Sometimes, well, I'll work, you know, it's air conditioning and kind of I'll get patted on the back and maybe Dick will write me up in the bulletin or in the newsletter, look what Paul did last week. But how often does he say, you know, so-and-so did such-and-such? Jesus left us example. Galatians 5 and verse 13, it says, through love, serve one another. Jesus is the way of service, also the way of suffering. Suffering. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, for to this you were called. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 14 says, we're called by the gospel. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example that we should follow in his steps. He suffered greatly that we should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 4, verse 14, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Suffer as a Christian. I don't know that we really appreciate what some have done and endured, how they suffered because they were Christians. Even in today's society, in some lands, those who are New Testament Christians and those who are Christians maybe in the world's eyes, in a broader sense, many of them are suffering simply because they were Christians. My sister Nancy lived in Saudi Arabia for a while. She wasn't and isn't a faithful Christian. But over there, you know, you couldn't have a Bible. You couldn't talk to people about Jesus. they still took people down and cut their hands off and stuff like that. Well, hopefully we'll never have to endure something like that, but I guess I wonder where our nation's headed. But we don't know the future, but we know who holds the future in her hand. Don't be ashamed if you're ever called to suffer as a Christian. In Revelation 2:10, we lack the latter part of that verse. Be faithful unto death, and I give you a crown of life. Know what the first part of that verse says? The devil is going to cast some of you into prison. Don't sound like much fun. And you're going to have tribulation 10 days. I looked up the word tribulation, and one of the definitions or illustrations was, that's what happens to a grape when it's in the grape or wine press. It undergoes tribulation. Some of you are going to be cast into prison 10 days. Be faithful unto death. Be faithful dying for me. So if we are to be faithful in suffering, even to the point of death, certainly we should be willing to do whatever we can here and now. Jesus is a way to glory. Matthew chapter 25 describes what is going to happen one day, and we're going to experience it. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and he will sit upon the throne of his glory. Remember, it goes on to talk about all nations will be there, all who have ever lived, and there'll be the great separation, like a shepherd separates a sheep from the goats. And they'll say to those on his right hand, you know, come and inherit the kingdom prepared before you. What a wonderful day that will be when Jesus comes in his glory. But Colossians 3 and verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ appears. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about when Christ comes, he's going to bring those who sleep in Jesus with him. Those who have been faithful, those who have died, he's going to bring their spirits with them, my understanding at least. And then the graves are going to be open and their bodies are going to come forth. I guess somehow there's going to be a reunion between the spirit and the body. And those who are alive, their body will be changed into an incorruptible, immortal body will appear with him in glory. We need not refer to ourselves as people of the way, but we need to make sure that we are in the way. In Christ, every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, how blessed we are. We need to know that Jesus is the way. I sometimes talk about him being the way, but also seems sometimes maybe referring to what he has taught and his doctrine or his people. But there is a way that leads to heaven. Jesus talked about another way, a broad way that leads to destruction. Many go that way because it's easy. Do nothing and you can go that way. But the way that we should want to go, the way that God wants us to go, is through the straight and the narrow. We realize that Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Matthew 11, verse 28 and following. And we, through faith, come to Jesus with repentance and confession of our faith, obedience to the gospel, being baptized into Christ, and then Revelation 2:10, live faithfully no matter what comes. Saul of Tarsus persecuted the way. We talked about that. He worshiped according to the way. In Acts chapter 19, talks about people spoke evil of the way. In Ephesus, Acts chapter 19, verse 23, there was a riot about the way. Felix, the governor, gained more accurate knowledge about the way. So, the way. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way, I'm in the glory land way. That's your closing song, if you want it.